May be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thy strong word was a suggested hymn for the hymn of the day for this Sunday. And in particular, it is likely because of that second to the last verse that we just sang. Give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. In other words, fill us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and empower us to be salt. That is the beginning of our gospel reading as we continue in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are salt of the earth. Salt is used for all kinds of things. What is it Jesus has in mind there? That's what we're going to explore this morning. But if you stop to run down some of them and think about it, salt is used in so much. Meat packing, curing, seasoning, just sprinkling it on things, even wound treatment. If you've ever put Epsom salt in hot water and soaked an injury in it, if you've ever had livestock, you know that if they're not getting enough of it, it's important to put salt out for them to be able to consume. Just this morning, if you walked in and you didn't slip and fall on the sidewalk, it was because somebody put salt down. Roman soldiers were even paid at times with salt. In the Old Testament, when certain offerings were offered up, salt was put on them. So many possibilities, so many uses, so many things that you see and you find in just day-to-day life where salt is involved. Yet unless if you are like my daughter, you probably don't eat it plain. She has a thing for salt that she will just shake it out into her hand and then eat it. Salt is all those things we said that it's used for. You can see in all of them that salt is not for itself. In other words, all of its uses have something to do with other things. It's incredibly necessary, it's incredibly prized, and yet in and of itself, perhaps you might say that it doesn't have much of a use. It has to be used on some other thing. So then how is it, as we look, that Jesus says, you are salt of the earth? In other words, you are not made salt in and of for something of yourself, but you are meant to be used on something else. But even then, how amazing are Jesus' words? Because those crowds that are gathered there for that Sermon on the Mount would certainly not seem to be the flavorful thing of the world. Gathered there, as Jesus has pointed out at the beginning of the Beatitudes, here gathered are the meek, the poor, the humble, the ones who are thirsting for righteousness, the ones who the rest of society looks at and thinks so little of. But Jesus has called them blessed. Blessed. And not only that, now he says they are salt, the salt of the earth. In spite of all appearances or worldly wisdom that would speak to the contrary. Here, you too now are amongst that group of meek and poor and humble, because you too may not find yourselves to be that sought-after segment of society. But nonetheless, you are blessed. You too are now called salt. And it is not because of your own doing. It is because of Christ Jesus. Christ is central to all of the teaching of Scripture, and especially this one. It is because of Him and what He has done for you that you are now this salt of the earth. He took you. He raised you to new life in your baptism, crucifying the old self that you were, and He made you something new. In Him, you are now a new creation. You are His disciple. The kingdom of heaven, He has said, even is yours, and He has made you salt. Like we mentioned just a little bit last week, that's what God does. He takes what is foolish in the eyes of this world, and He uses it to shame the people of this world who think they have wisdom. He does it throughout His ministry. He takes sheep herders, fishermen, tax collectors, all of it. And He makes them into the salt of the earth. He does it for you too. Whatever your vocation is or was, and whatever your past is or was, He took you, He claims you, He made you in Him, and He made you now to be salt of the earth. Even Lutheran pastors with an Irish last name can somehow be salt of the earth. That's where our text picks up. That's where we have to see it coming from. Christ Jesus taking those gathered there, calling them, calling you out of this world by His word, and making you something new, salt. And then turning around and taking you and sprinkling you back onto that world. This astounds the world. This astounds people, and you see it throughout Scripture. How could these meek, how could these humble, how could Christ Jesus call them the salt of the earth? During my time at the sheriff's department, we had a man who worked as a janitor for the courthouse. Every day, a kind word. Every day, even offering to pray, visiting, all kinds of things. His brother was a famous judge here in Billings, and nobody knew who he was. And yet when he passed away, the church was so full that people were spread out onto the lawn. And the priest said, "How in the world could so many people have been touched by this guy? He was a janitor." Christ Jesus said, "Yes, but he was salt of the earth because he was mine." You are salt. But now to be salt, that implies from Jesus' words that salt is needed, and it is. That brings up something kind of interesting about its uses. My stepfather salts everything that my mother makes without tasting it. If you're married to somebody who does that, do you take that very kindly? My mother doesn't. Because to her, it's a statement. It's a statement that what she served up was bland and tasteless, and he wasn't even going to bother trying the first spoonful or forkful without salting it. Christ's words imply the same thing. To take you, redeem you, give you your vocation, give you a purpose, make you His disciples, make you salt, implies that the world is in need of it. It needs salting. It needs taste. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, Scripture says. Yet again, another reminder that this world needs that good news. It needs that salt. That without the Word, without the Gospel, without the good news of Christ Jesus crucified and risen, this world is tasteless. Not just tasteless, maybe even, but we should acknowledge that apart from Christ, everything that is born and lives on this earth isn't just tasteless, it's rotten and it's corrupt. Like if you were to leave a fish sitting out to rot in the sun. Without salt, it stinks. That is the unfortunate consequence of a sinful world. All that has been created by God is now rotten with sin. And as Jesus points out, the world needs salt because of its rottenness, because of its corruptness. It is in need of the word of Christ to be proclaimed. It is in need of His disciples to show forth what it means to love and be His and in Him. It means that we must be bold enough as salt to confess that. To say as Christians, this is not good enough. To say as Christians, that is wrong, or this is wrong, or this is not God-pleasing. It means as Christians, we have to point it out to the world and say, your works, your good deeds, those things that you do, your efforts, apart from faith, they are rotten and worthless. It means we must condemn the wisdom of this world, the proud of this world, the works righteousness of this world. Jesus doesn't say being salt was going to be an easy job. Because the world hates that. It hates that proclamation and it hates you for being the one who speaks it. You literally become like salt being rubbed into an open wound. It would be easier, so much easier, to bury our head in the sand or go along with the world or maybe only salt a little bit around us where we know that it's safe. Because the world will love you for that. When there's no salt being rubbed in the wound, they're happy. But as Christ Jesus says, if that is what takes place, if that is what happens, you're no longer salt and you're tasteless. The church at large, the church in general, can so easily fall into this. There is an ELCA preacher I've brought up before as a perfect example of this. She has been the key speaker at least two of the last ELCA youth gatherings. And she stands up there in front of like 30 or 40,000 teenagers, and instead of being salt, she acts just like the world. She tells them that being queer is beautiful. She tells them they ought to engage in as much premarital sex as they can because it's not meant for marriage. She flaunts her lifestyle in front of them. She swears and she drops the F-bomb to them as a preacher. That's not salt. That's not what Christ Jesus has called us to be. That's the same rotten crap that the world peddles. That's not a city on a hill. That's just another dose of dark, back alley, cesspool sin. But it's no wonder the world loves her for it. Salting has to bite. Everything done without faith in Christ, everything that goes against His word, it must be criticized, it must be pointed out, it must be condemned. As salt, as you are sprinkled out into the world wherever your vocation places you, this is what Christ Jesus has called you to do. That is what you have been made to be in Christ Jesus. So yes, Not only do we get the joyous times when the gospel is preached and we share the good news, we also have those times when as salt, we are a burning application to a rotten, wounded world. Others that think they are more wise, others who think that they are more woke, I think is the paraphrase word now, others that think they are more loving will call you all sorts of things because of it. Bad parents, bad grandparents, weak, meek, foolish, backward, ignorant. Because according to the world, because you proclaim Christ Jesus, because your tongue, your mouth, your throat speaks His word and His truth, you are not what they want. But as Christ Jesus shows us this morning, thank God for that. We as Christians, we take that abuse, we take that burden, we take that cross that is placed upon us for bearing His name, and we rejoice in it. Because in Christ Jesus, the only place it matters, you are blessed. In the verses right before this, Jesus has just said, blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, call you all sorts of names on account of me. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. They do it to you because of whose name you bear. Because you belong to Christ Jesus and have been claimed by Him. They do it because you strive to live according to God's word. They do it because you call a thing sin what it is, and you don't hide it or rejoice in it. You confess it because you know of the forgiveness in Christ Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. And if we do not do this, as Christ says, we lose our saltiness. And what good is it then if Christians and the church and pastors become just like the rest of the world? There is no longer any salt or any light. There was a book called Animal Farm written a long time ago. And forget all of the undertones about communism and so on and so forth in it. The point is, the animals want to do things differently. They want to change things. They think they are going to be an influence and a good in the world. And by the time you get to the end of the book, you know what happens? You look through the window, and they can't even tell what they are anymore. They look just like the humans that they replaced. That is the danger that we face as well, too, if salt is no longer salt. We must be well armed. We must be ready. We must be in God's Word. We must be here receiving His body and blood in this sacrament. We must be taught and instructed by Him so that we can indeed be what He has called us to be, the salt and the light of the world. Gathered here, Christ forgives us, He teaches us, He joins us together again with Him. And by His righteousness, you have been redeemed just like those He is speaking to in this Sermon on the Mount. You walk in that redemption now daily by your baptism. And in Him, you remain the salt of the earth. So go from this place into whatever vocation God has called you to be in, knowing that He has made you to be the lips, the mouth, the throat, the tongue, to proclaim something different in this world, to speak of something that is eternal, to proclaim the love of a Savior who died for you and made you who and what you are. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.